It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Well, as we sit a week away from Election Day, one of the things that we're trying to do, and I'm doing this with the help of my outstanding Hall of Fame-level producer, Fred Bonner, we want to get a bunch of people on the air one more time before the election, some of the folks that are really the experts on the show, whether it's Selena Zito or, look, my friend Scott Jennings, I feel like I've lost him to the world of CNN. And, you know, Jennings and I have been friends for probably 8 years now. I go way back with Joe Arnold, who is a mutual friend in Louisville as well. And Scott's come on my show literally a couple of times a month for the last 8 years until he vaulted into superstardom here on CNN, trying to keep everyone straight on that set. And it's just difficult for him right now because he's running campaigns in Kentucky, et cetera. So I did send him a text this morning and I got a response. I'm hopeful we're going to get him on. I know we're going to get him on this week. I said, Jennings, my brother, just back. I used the picture of my grandson that I put on Twitter today because, you know, that's a good hook on a text. I said, Jennings, my brother, just back from Houston. One question my grandson asks is there any chance of getting you on one more time before next Tuesday? And look, I had to tell him that I know he's getting crushed and I hope he's got a good vacation plan. I'm actually worried about him. I'm worried about him as a friend just because he's so stressed about all this. They're demanding so much of him at CNN. And let's face it, the CNN audience hates his guts because he's shilling for Trump. So I think just on a human level, I'm concerned about Scott, but we'll ask him some of those questions as he joins us hopefully this week or maybe Monday, the day before the election. Now, I got Ted Nugent coming up tomorrow on the show. I wanted to hear what Uncle Ted had to say with some closing arguments. He'll be here 24 hours from now, right at this time slot, right around 5:07. And Fred is working on putting a bunch of other folks together as well. Paul Morrow's coming up here in a couple of minutes. I'll have my election guide at the bottom of the hour, but let me just play before Paul jumps on the line here. This is Seth Dillon from the Babylon Bee, and they made their own presidential endorsement today. If you don't know, for those of you who don't know, the Babylon Bee is the digital version, if you will, of The Onion. It's on Twitter, and they have a website, and it's all satire. It's satirical tweets and commentary, and they're very, very funny. Of course, the people on the left don't think they're funny because they're mocked more than anyone else. But Seth Dillon did, you know, everyone, all the cool kids are doing endorsements, so here we go.
Hi, I'm Seth Dillon, CEO of the Babylon Bee. While other fake news organizations like the Washington Post and the LA Times refuse to save democracy, we here at the Babylon Bee are proud to do our part. Today, we've decided to officially endorse Kamala Harris for president.
Oops.
Why Kamala? Well, we'd be here all day if I listed all the reasons, but I'll name a few.
So keep in mind, you know, and I didn't really get much into the Jeff Bezos commentary in the Washington Post, his newspaper, saying we're not going to endorse because, let me summarize this and paraphrase it, we know that the American people don't trust us because we've done a terrible job in reporting, in particular in the last 4 years. I might be putting a few words or, you know, letters into Jeff's mouth, but that's essentially what he wrote in the Washington Post. And I think he sees the manipulation by the people that work for his own damn newspaper in devious ways. I also think that, you know, Paul will address this in a few minutes. There might be some politics at play there with him in particular. But Seth Dillon goes on.
To begin with, she shot straight to the top because of her intellect. Smart lady. She's the first person in history to win a primary without receiving a single vote.
Pretty special.
That's impressive.
It is impressive.
She's a person of color.
Yep.
Indian, I think.
Yeah.
She's a phenomenon. She gave Drew Barrymore a hug, an act that symbolized her willingness to wrap her arms around the country and give us all a hug whenever Republicans make us feel sad.
You know, and if you're really kind of struggling on a vote, maybe some of your friends are too, I would point to the hug with Drew Barrymore for sure.
She was such a popular vice president that over 12 million people hiked hundreds of miles to cross our southern border to vote for her without ID in this election.
That's a good point.
She has a melodic and soothing voice, especially when she laughs. I can listen to her laugh for hours.
Who couldn't?
We are grateful that when America is on the brink of losing its democracy, the person standing strong against the looming threat of fascism is a woman as accomplished, intelligent, joyful, and non-white as Kamala Harris. And so we join Eminem, Megan Thee Stallion, the Insane Clown Posse, and many other great thought leaders by proudly endorsing Kamala Harris for president.
There you go. That's a special moment from Seth Dillon, and I have absolute appreciation for it. Now, I drove back from Houston. I get into the car yesterday morning. I really didn't pay much attention to politics, but I knew the Madison Square Garden thing was going on. And then I turned on CNN yesterday because I wanted to hear Jennings. And it was just terrible. Whatever happened at Madison Square Garden must have been traumatic for people, because listen to this.
It is absolutely something that is intended to and is fanning the fuel of trying to divide our country.
There's a direct parallel to a big rally that happened in the mid-1930s at Madison Square Garden.
This was a hate rally. These are mini January 6th rallies.
How did we get here? Where a stadium of people come to hate.
Yesterday's Trump rally from hell.
Vile, racist, sexist insults dominated Donald Trump's rally at Madison Square Garden.
They're going to need some help in about a week, ladies and gentlemen. I'm very concerned about my friends on the left. Paul Morrow is here. He must be a Nazi, too, because he was at that rally the other night. That's exactly what happened, the way that they explained it all there on those clips. Right, Paul?
Otherworldly. I mean, there was nothing Nazi-ish or fascist about it. It's preposterous. You know, in fact, there weren't even that many protesters. You know, everybody expected, the PD expected a big protest presence, et cetera. And realistically, there was some token characters, you know, waving Nazi signs around. But the only swastikas I saw were from the protesters who had placed them on, you know, adjacent to Donald Trump on placards. It was a very good vibe. It was like, look, these things, they're pro forma. This is the second or third Trump rally I covered. And realistically, they are for a group of people, in this case, 20,000 people, to get together, feel good about who they're going to vote for, feel good about who they're supporting, talk to each other, make contacts, exchange business cards. Half the time, they're barely listening to the speakers. They listen to the applause lines. But really, it's a point. The point is for everybody to get together. And the idea that this was in any way some sort of Nazi rally is preposterous. It's profoundly ignorant of history. It's a desperate election tactic. And as I said recently, for a Nazi rally, there were an awful lot of Israeli flags there.
You know, I played a little of this audio earlier, Paul, this guy, Tony Hinchcliffe, who was there. Now, he was at the Al Smith dinner, and he was very, very funny. The only thing I would say about him at the MSG rally is it seemed like some of the comedy, they were pretty good lines, I would laugh, Jon Stewart laughed. I think some of the comedy fell flat because the room wasn't quite right for that. But that Hinchcliffe guy was telling the same style and the same, you know, caliber of jokes that he did at the Al Smith dinner.
Yeah, and, you know, the thing about him, I think that a lot of people don't realize, is he was the first speaker. And so the place was only half full, and people were filing in, including myself.
Yeah.
And it was a very sort of proscribed seating arrangement, because they knew it was going to be crowded. And, in fact, it was filled to overcapacity because you had the floor seats. The Garden holds about 19,500. It was over 20,000 because you had the floor seats, and people were standing, you know, at one point. There were people, I got a few phone calls to say, hey, can you get me in? Because they were waiting outside. There was another 20,000 people outside because the garden was overfilled. So people were still taking off their jackets, finding seats, seeing who they were going to sit next to, where are the bathrooms, can we get something to eat before you know, it gets too crowded, et cetera, et cetera. And he was speaking, and so you were only half listening. I didn't realistically hear anything he said and wasn't aware of anything he said until much later when we started hearing about this joke that he made. And look, I'm not going to defend him. In all honesty, I agree with you. It wasn't the right room for that. I think that Donald Trump, I'm sure, never heard of the guy. I think it was whoever delivered him to Donald Trump under these circumstances did Trump a disservice. You know that the progressives are just waiting to pounce on anything they can to try to demonstrate that this was some sort of fascistic rally. And then to give them one was a mistake. There's no reason to court this kind of misinterpretation or disaster or whatever you want to call it. Really, It wasn't the room for that. You're 100% right.
Well, and, you know, again, some of this stuff, you know, they did disavow it. They said, look, this joke does not reflect the views of President Trump or the campaign. And you're talking most specifically about when he said there's literally a floating island of garbage in the middle of the ocean right now. Yeah, I think it's called Puerto Rico. Well, there is a little history to that line, too. Nuance. It's tough when you have to explain a joke, Paul, as you know, then it's not very good.
Yeah,
but
right,
they've got a lot of issues, literally, with trash piling up in Puerto Rico. So maybe that's where it came from. But look, it just didn't match the rest of the tone, so I think that was an error. But the way that the overreaction on the part of the media with no context at all, because you could have, you know, in the New York Times or somewhere else said, look, this was the same guy that was telling jokes along this, you know, along these lines at the Al Smith dinner, and Kevin Hart and everybody, they're laughing their asses off at it. But of course, context doesn't matter when it comes to Donald Trump, Paul, as we all know.
No, 100%. And that's why I say, you know, don't lean into giving them one, you know. Make sure everybody's vetted. And look, the remarks at the event were almost entirely redundant. Everybody pretty much said the same thing. Vote early, vote for Donald Trump. After that, it was all a gloss. And it really came down to, you know, how you delivered it and how you couched it. And so the idea that, okay, we'll start off with a comedian while everybody is filing into their seats, fair enough. But even then, they should have looked carefully at why go with an edgy look. That's comedy. I don't blame him. He
right.
did his
no,
job.
I agree.
That's who he is, you know. So, but, you know, why go with an edgy comic? At that point, to me, you get somebody that's very, very safe, or you get somebody who's going to do, you know, scan as a reach out maybe to Hispanics or blacks or somebody that you're trying to peel away from the other side. And to hand them one, I think, was a mistake. I guess the thinking was, look, we'll try to appeal to young people who know this guy is. We'll try to show that we're
right,
edgy,
right.
et cetera.
I think that's it, yeah. No, I think that's part
of
it. Like,
you know, so
I just got back, and I was talking about this earlier, too. I just got back from a trip to Houston, Paul, and on my way back was meeting my new grandson. My son and his girlfriend had a baby 8 weeks ago and was
nice.
Meeting Idris, my grandson. And on the way back on Thursday is when I drove down. I'm losing all, you know, sort of time references here. Sunday night, I left and I drove to Texarkana. I listened to the entire... It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
3-hour Joe Rogan podcast. And I found it interesting. And, you know, nobody's really ripping on that in the left-wing media because there was nothing to rip on. I mean, the guy sat there and had a conversation with Joe Rogan, something that I don't think Kamala Harris could ever do, let alone an hour or let alone 3 hours. I don't think she could do it for an hour.
No, no question about it. And he even made the joke that she'd be comatose on the floor. And he's 100% right. The only way she could get through that is if people wanted to hear her laugh for 3 hours. And in fact, I don't know if you've seen, but Rogan is looking to get her on.
Yes.
And they put conditions. They
yeah.
said it'll be no more than an hour and you have to come to us. In other words, all kinds of controlled conditions. And just like what happened with the Bret Baier interview, you know that when Rogan arrives there, were he to do it, and he didn't agree, but were he to have agreed, he'd show up. All of a sudden, that hour becomes a half hour.
Right, right.
And by the way, these are the questions you're going to ask. She is, it's no secret at this point, it's been going on for months. She is employing the same hide in the basement strategy that got Joe elected the first time, and we all know how that worked out. You only hide somebody, it's just common sense. You only hide somebody if they have something to hide. They hid Joe because he had the beginnings of dementia or maybe even further. And they're hiding her because it really does seem like she is that vacuous. There's only one of two things. She is either completely vacuous, a sphinx without a secret, as the saying goes,
yeah.
or she is hiding some sort of profound progressive program that is going to be what she is looking to do to the country, and she doesn't want anybody to know about it. And I actually default to the former. I just don't think there's anything there.
Well, I think we're learning that. We have learned that. This is an interesting reaction on all this fascism stuff, which is not sticking, from the mayor of your city.
I know what a fascist regime looks like. I think, as I've called over and over again, that the level of conversation, I think we could all dial down the temperature. And I've heard people say that former president should not be able to have a rally in Madison Square Garden. I strongly disagree. This is America.
Yeah, he voted for Trump, Paul. Don't you think at this point Eric Adams is a Trump guy?
You know, it's funny you should say that, but I said something like that on the air and caused a little bit of a stir up here when he was going in, when he was being, when, you know, first time around, because when he was running himself, Eric Adams.
Yeah.
And I think that, I think that was probably the case. Now, the read up here is that he's doing that because he wants Trump to win so that Trump will pardon him because he's under federal indictment. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. But he is managing to sound like the adult in the room, because the idea that you can equate Donald Trump with Adolf Hitler, Mussolini, Francisco Franco, you know, the classic triumvirate of fascists, okay, with the true fascists in the true historical sense of the term, is just utterly
it's ludicrous.
It is. And it's actually an insult.
You know, when she's asked by Anderson Cooper, is Donald Trump a fascist? And she says that, you know what the follow-up question should be? What does that mean? What is a fascist?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't even think she could. She couldn't define it.
No, of course, no. She never could define that. She'd have absolutely no idea what to say, and that's just really unfortunate. But you know what? If half the country is so riled up and offended by Donald Trump's sort of loose use of language sometimes, as opposed to looking at the policy that's going to govern their lives, then you know what? We vote what we get for. You know, we get what we vote for, excuse me. And you know, I'd like to think that the electorate sees through this.
I think they do.
Somehow or other, she's polling very high. I don't know.
I think they do see through it. And I think that's why we're seeing some panic on, you know, on the left. And that same panic doesn't occur right now in the Trump camp. Now, Paul, my caveat for the last 2 weeks has been, and it will continue to be my caveat, a lot of us felt pretty good about the way things were looking in 2022, and that didn't manifest itself in quite the way that was expected. So, look, it's a close race. We know it's a close race. I voted today. I don't know if you voted yet. One of the things I was thinking about is it took me about 70 minutes all in to vote. The lines were just maybe a little shorter last week. I thought they'd be shorter this week. But I can also see people, you know, giving up on this if they have to wait in 90-minute lines, et cetera, saying, oh, it's not even worth it.
Well, that's interesting. You know, all I can say is that the early voting favoring Trump is a good sign, because it just shows how committed his followers are. And there's that's no accident that at the rally, every speaker said, get out there and vote
right now.
They don't trust Election Day. And that was a theme the entire time. Grab a friend, make sure you get out there and vote early. I haven't yet. I'm going to, though, because I don't want to deal with the lines on Election Day. And God forbid something happens and I got to go run in. I just want to make sure. And yeah, he's probably not going to win New York. I don't care. You got to get out there. You got to vote. Got to get in early and, you know, get your vote heard here, because complacence this time around is not an option.
Well, enjoy the final week here leading up to next Tuesday, Paul. Maybe we'll get you back here before the election, but we are very close. We're very close. Now, getting the results, I don't know how close we are for that, because that may take a few days. That's another concern.
Yeah, well, exactly. And, you know, now all the lawsuits are sparking off, and, you know, some of the stuff that you're hearing about going on in Pennsylvania, Virginia, Wisconsin, it's pretty outrageous.
Concerning,
so, I'm hoping that SCOTUS does weigh in, because you got to knock some of this down. And one of the best strategies I've heard is that Donald Trump has apparently put out, and I'm sure they're not reporting it on the left, but that's who needs to hear it is the left, is that if he does in fact win, he's not only going to clean this up, but he's going to look into the shenanigans that were launched against him here relative to malforming our voting system. I find that legitimate. That's not voter intimidation. That's keeping the integrity of our system sacrosanct. And, you know, when an Afghan election, where the women who get to vote for the first time in their lives put their fingers in purple ink, when that ends up being a more accurate and honest election strategy and policy mechanism, whatever you want to call it, more than ours in the 21st century with all our computers, you know something is very wrong.
Yeah, that's a great point. Paul Morrow, thank you so much. Check out theopsdesk.org. We'll talk soon. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, buddy.
We might get him one more time before the election. I really enjoy talking to Paul, and he's on top of these issues. And, you know, did you hear the Eric Adams stuff, Sue? No, that might be a good time for the Eric Adams stuff. I meant to kind of throw that in with Paul, but this is kind of amazing. Now, you know, again, I mentioned that with Paul. He could be doing it because he knows Trump might win and he wants to not be someone that's in his crosshairs. But look, he's right. Let me play this again here because this is so important and he's right about this. This is along the lines of calling Trump a Nazi and all this fascist stuff.
And they're talking about these real problems we're having. And with all that's going on to everyday New Yorkers, we're asking questions that is someone a fascist or is someone a Hitler. That's insulting to me. That is insulting. And I'm not going to engage in that. Everyone needs to turn down the rhetoric. Because after Election Day, we still have to be the United States and not the divided states.
So for just a moment here, for just a moment, I'm going to take away, I'm going to remove the possibility that Eric Adams said that because he wants better treatment by Trump if Trump's president. I hope maybe that's partially true because he's right about this. And the people of New York are worried about their future right now. People don't know if they can pay for groceries. Can they live in a house in the future?
You know, and I know you guys really believe these stories you're writing. It gives you a lot of clicks. It's exciting. It gives you headlines. But this is not what New Yorkers and Americans are dealing with, folks. They are scared of their future. Someone needs to stand up and say, enough of this. Tone down the rhetoric. Let people hear the facts. Let them vote. And let's decide what the next 4 years are going to be for our city. And that's my position. I cannot make it any clearer.
You know, good for him for saying that. And again, I'll just assume for just a moment best intentions with Eric Adams. But you think about Kamala Harris, Tim Walz, they're all calling him a Nazi. It's fascism.
Yeah.
You know, that's all they have left at this point. And I think a lot of people just see through it. And even we played a clip from you know, Jon Stewart earlier, where he kind of defended the comedian at MSG, even though there were some things that maybe didn't go over well with the team at CNN. But it's just, it's unbelievable that they go unchecked with all these things over and over. But that's what we have in 2024, because they're panicked right now about what's going to happen next Tuesday, what's happening right now with people voting. I have some recommendations, some explanations of the ballot proposals. We'll do our best, plus an audio cut of the day coming up.
Get more at 971talk.com. It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.